"Lady Sybil is doing well," he said, sitting down. "You tell me," said Vimes. "Some things can't be hurried, no doubt," said Vetinari smoothly, shuffling the papers. "Let me see now, let me see. There were just a few points that I should deal with. Ah, the regular letter from our religious friends at the Temple of Small Gods." He carefully removed it from the pile and set it to one side. "I think I shall invite the new deacon to tea and explain matters to him. Now, where was I? Ah, the political situation in... Yes?" The door opened. Drumknot, the chief clerk, came in.
"A message for His Grace," he said, although he handed it to Lord Vetinari.
The patrician passed it very politely across the desk. Vimes unfolded it.
"It's off the clacks," he yelled. "We've got Carcer cornered in New Hall. I've got to get down there now."
"How exciting," said Lord Vetinari, standing up suddenly. "The call to the chase. But is it necessary for you to attend personally, Your Grace?" Vimes gave him a grey look.
"Yes," he said. "Because if I don't, you see, some poor sod who's been trained by me to do the right thing is going to try to arrest the bugger."
He turned to Carrot.
"Captain, get on it right now. Clacks, pigeons, runners, whatever. I want everyone answering this shout, OK? But no one, I repeat, no one, is to try to tackle him without a lot of backup. Understood? And get Swires airborne."
"Oh, damn."
"What's wrong, sir?"
"This message is from Littlebottom. She sent it straight here. What's she doing there? She's forensic. She's not street. She'll do it by the book."
"Shouldn't she?" said Vetinari.
"No.
Carcer needs an arrow in his leg just to get his attention. You shoot first and ask questions later," said Vetinari.
Vimes paused at the door and said, "There's nothing I want to ask him."
Vimes had to slow down for breath in Satyr Square, and that was disgusting. A few years ago, he'd only really be getting into his stride by now. But the storm rolling over the plains was driving the heat before it, and it wouldn't do for the commander to turn up wheezing. As it was, even after pausing behind a street market stall for a few gulps of air, he doubted if he had enough wind left for a lengthy sentence. To his tremendous relief, an entirely unwounded Corporal Chewy Littlebottom was waiting by the university walls. She saluted.
"Reporting, sir," she said.
Murmured Vimes.
"I spotted a couple of trolls on traffic duty, sir," said Cheery, "so I've sent them around to Waterbridge. Then Sergeant Detritus turned up, and I advised him to go into the university by the main gate and get up high. Sergeant Cole on a Nobby arrived, and I sent them along to the Bridge of Sighs."
"Why?" said Vimes.
"Because I doubt if he's really going to try going that way," said Cheery, her face a very careful picture.
Vimes had to stop himself from nodding.
"And then, as more people came along, I'm putting them around the perimeter. But I think he's gone up and he's staying high."
"Why?"
"Because how's he going to fight his way out through a lot of wizards, sir? His best chance is to sneak around the roofs and drop down somewhere quiet. There's lots of hiding places, and he can get all the way to Peach Pie Street without coming down."
"Forensic," thought Vimes. "And with any luck, he doesn't know about Buggy."
"Well thought out," he said. "Thank you, sir. Would you mind standing a bit closer to this wall, sir?"
"What for?" Something shattered on the cobbles. Vimes was suddenly flat against the wall.
"He's got a crossbow, sir," said Cheery. "We think he stole it from Strong in the Arm, but he's not very good with it."
"Well done, Corporal," said Vimes weakly. "Good job." He glanced around the square behind him. The wind was whipping at the awnings of the market stalls, and the traders, with occasional looks at the sky, were covering their wares.
"But we can't just let him hang around up there," he went on. "He'll start taking pot shots, and he's bound to hit someone."
"Why would he do that, sir?"
"Carcer doesn't need a reason," said Vimes. "He just needs an excuse."
A movement far above caught his eye, and he grinned. A large bird was gaining height over the city. The heron, mumbling complaints, fought for altitude in big, sweeping circles. The city whirled around Corporal Buggy Swires as he gripped even harder with his knees, and he swung the bird downwind, and it landed with a staggering run on top of the Tower of Art, the highest building in the city. With a practiced movement, the gnome sliced through the string holding the portable semaphore in place and leapt down after it onto the compost of ivy leaves and old ravens' nests that carpeted the top of the tower. The heron watched him with round-eyed stupidity. Buggy had tamed it in the usual gnome way. You painted yourself green like a frog and hung out in the marshes, croaking, and then when a heron tried to